Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe. Today, the story of Sid Singh and his support and involvement with the Centre for Gender and Refugee Studies. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome. I'm Ewan Spence. I live in Edinburgh all year round, but for 1 month, it becomes the arts capital of the world, and I have a little millstone of a daily podcast. And you know what? I quite like millstones. I've had it since 2005, and for some of you, your millstone has been listening to it ever since then. Whether it's your first time or whether it's into your second decade, welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe. Okay, and if you're new here, you won't know that's Needfire. And if you've been around here before, you know that's our Texan rock and roll bagpipe band who provide our theme tune and have sons since ages and ages and ages ago. Let's not think about who too long it is. Anyway, yes, it's the Fringe. So once more, a chance to head into the city and just learn about one more performer from over 3,500 shows. We're into week two now, so the sort of calendar middle week when we ignore the previews, and we're starting to get nominations and shortlists coming through for the various prizes. We had the Fringe firsts from The Scotsman for the first week of theatre, so let's just take a little quick glance at two of the comedy long lists that have been announced in the last 24 hours. Now, I'm not going to read off all the names. It's a long list. When we get down to the shortlist, no worries, we'll bring them up now. But I do want to highlight two of the other comedy awards. Everybody knows about the Perriers, even though Perrier hasn't sponsored the Edinburgh Comedy Awards for a ridiculously long time. But what a wonderful brand investment that was, as proven by this podcast. But first of all, launched a few years ago, the Ish Comedy Awards, and it looked like the Edinburgh Comedy Awards wouldn't be able to make it in the COVID year. Ish, of course, stands for insert sponsor here. And this year, they have 35 shows nominated and 19 newcomers nominated as well. So that's on the posters for next year, a little bit more. We'll have links to the long list of this and the next one back at our website, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. And that next one is the biggest award in comedy at the Fringe. It's from Next Up Comedy, and it is an inflatable trophy that is 2 meters, 1 centimeter high. That makes it the biggest award ever, because the previous one was last year's 2 meter high inflatable trophy. And this year, of course, they don't have to go Ish. They do have a sponsor. It's from RHL STP, which aficionados of the podcasting world will know as the Richard Herring Leicester Square Theatre Podcast. Richard Herring doing Edinburgh from Leicester Square because it's a heck of a lot cheaper. And in terms of sponsorship, the quote goes something like this. RHL STP has managed to do the Edinburgh Fringe remotely this year, so we are delighted to offer a fraction of what our accommodation would have cost to help pay for a fraction of the cost of one brilliant performer's accommodation. That will teach the greedy landlords. Somehow. Richard Herring there. And if you want to find more from Richard Herring, that podcast, search for Edinburgh Fringe in any podcast app or directory and look for the podcast that is one above this show. That will be Herring. Hi, Richard. Right, okay, on with today's interview. As I said earlier, it's with Sid Singh, and it features cameos from Columbo and the Eiffel Tower. But anyway, Sid, his show this year, Table for One. This is where he's going to talk about his dual career, both as a stand-up and also a human rights advocate. He works with the Centre for Gender and Refugee Studies. The show is supporting and raising money for them as well. And in the show, you know, Singh talks about this dual career, you know, that in one hand sees him, you know, taking on the US government over human rights, and then on the other hand dealing with and making a funny story about deportation from India while staying in Germany. There's this lovely blend of two different disciplines in one very, very accomplished man. It's taking place at the Laughing Horse's Cabaret Voltaire, 4:15 p.m. every day through to the end of the Fringe. Let's sit down with Sid. We're going to have to start this one really, really quickly here. Joining me now, we have Sid Singh. Welcome to the show, Sid.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we started to do that sort of introduction chat. How are things? Is there anything else you want to talk about? Are you going on tour in Eastern Europe? And we suddenly got onto Columbo.
Yes. So I'm fascinated by you even knowing that there's a Columbo statue in Budapest. I think that's super cool. I find I might be the world's worst tourist. And I think there's two reasons for that. One, because I'm always traveling for work, so I feel guilty when I sneak off to see a city site. And the second is that I think if, like you just told me, there's a statue of Columbo, I just believe you. So now I feel like I don't even need to see it because I'm like, no, I get it. Yeah, there's a statue of Columbo somewhere. Right, what do I care? You know.
So the question now, certainly the question that my family would ask is, am I telling the truth or not?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it makes no difference to me. Well, I would rather live in the world where there is a Columbo statue in Budapest, and as long as I never see it, therefore it's never not true.
The good news is there is. It actually does. You can search for it. It's in Google Images or stuff. If you're going out on a tour in Eastern Europe, you can have your right. picture next to a bronze Columbo.
Yeah. Well, how about here? Here's a much sillier example. Is the Eiffel Tower real? I don't know. I performed in Paris many times, but I just go from the gig to the hotel to the bar closest to the comedy club. That's
See, here's the thing. Even if the Eiffel Tower wasn't there,
yeah.
France puts it into every single bit of culture that they ever export from France that you would never know that it's not there.
Exactly.
It could have been put up for that month of whatever trade fair it was, and taken down. And the rest of the time it says, of course, we're France. Look, the Eiffel Tower.
But here's the thing. And you know what? God bless them. I believe it. Hey, they made up this weird pyramid thing. Giant phone tower, whatever you want to call it. Looks great. Good for you guys. Haven't seen it, but I believe it.
Yeah. It's just like you, as a comic, think there's this thing called the Edinburgh Fringe. It isn't. Yeah. You just come to Edinburgh. We make you fall asleep. We take all your money. We take all your debt, we give you more, we send you on your way again, and you just think, oh, I had a really, really good night, didn't I?
Well, you know, that's actually interesting. So this actually plays into this quite well. I think I generally have very atypical Edinburgh fringes. And I think part of that could be because I do the free fringe every year. But I love the Edinburgh Fringe because I tend to make a good amount of money. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be admitting that on these things, but it's like, because no industry ever comes to my shows, and just regular people who enjoy the show and give money afterwards, I do fine.
See, it's because you don't believe in pyramids, and that means you don't believe in Bernie Madoff, which means you don't believe in spending money you don't have.
Well, I think that is part of it. I think, but you know, to be more honest, it's because, so this will be the 10 year anniversary of my first Fringe. I have done every single Fringe since, minus the COVID year. It's more so that I've just been rejected from the paid fringes every single year since. Again, I don't know if I'm supposed to be admitting any of this stuff, but my show is good and I think you'll enjoy watching it, so I don't mind.
We should mention it. It's Table for One, I understand.
Yes, sir. Table for One, every day, 4:15 at the Cabaret Voltaire.
Tell us about the show.
The previous two shows were about how I got to help beat the U.S. government in court in order to protect refugees. And this show is about how, after doing that, Joe Biden unfortunately replaced our victories with an even worse law. And so this is a show about how you keep going anyway. And it's actually the first hour I've done in a long time that feels very, very personal. Because I kind of talk about my journey going from comedy to becoming a lawyer to staying in comedy.
Tell me about becoming a lawyer, because isn't that like multiple years in universities and going through practices? How does that work next to a comedy career?
Stupidly, I believe is
the practice. Hey!
And it's weirder too, because I think most people go, oh, you're a lawyer and then you became a comedian. And I go, no, much dumber. I was a comedian and then I went to law school and then I stayed a comedian, which meant I did comedy every single day of law school, which meant I was exhausted at all times. And then I just started taking the things I learned from law school and putting it back into comedy. Basically, in an effort to trick people into seeing my shows in law school, I would start doing fundraisers for very cool organizations. And then a weird thing started happening. which is that those organizations started taking that money and then doing really cool things with it. So then you go, whoa, I can't stop, right? Like, you can't like do an awesome thing because of my comedy show and then make me go, well, good luck next time. I feel like I've done my part. Kind of just have to keep going. And luckily, the Center for Gender and Refugee Studies, which is where 50% of all ticket sales to Sid Singh's comedy shows will be going this fringe, they just keep fighting the good fight.
Tell me about the center.
Okay, the Center for Gender and Refugee Studies is a part of UCSF Law's, or I think it's UC Law SF. It's basically this refugee organization, and they gained prominence because they're the reason that victims of FGM were granted asylum back in the 90s in the United States. And ever since then, they've sort of become the go-to refugee organization for other orgs to be like, how do we win this tricky case? And they're very good at publicizing it. I think my role is, you know, very limited to just being like, hey, they keep doing cool stuff. Let's talk about their cool stuff on stage so that more people hear about it and we raise more money for them. So, for example, they were instrumental in helping end this thing called Title 42, which you might have heard about. People in the UK are familiar with the Rwanda scheme. Well, in America, we invented the Rwanda scheme, but Priti Patel crossed out Mexico and wrote Rwanda. The Center for Gender and Refugee Studies was very instrumental in helping end the Remain in Mexico program as well. And that was helped ended in part by a tiny amount of proceeds from my comedy shows.
So how did you get involved with the center? Was it through putting on these benefit shows first?
No, so first I just took the class. So the head of the CGRS, Karen Masala, was my law school professor. And I was almost certainly the worst student she has ever had. I think a lot of times I do these shows to make up for the fact that I was the worst student she has ever had. And I was the worst student because every night I was doing comedy. So I didn't read for class. But luckily, I don't think a lot. She was such a good professor. She would just teach you everything anyway in the day of. And the act of learning about refugee law is truly the act of learning how many stupid people can be put in positions of power.
But it must also have some very, very worthy, sensible, heroic people in power as well.
Nope. Boy, would that be better. No, what you often have is very, very stupid people in positions of power making stupid choices. And then every once in a while, you have someone who can be shamed, or you have someone who bows to political pressure. And that's when good things happen. And unfortunately, that's our bar for good things to happen.
So how do you bring all of that into a show at the Edinburgh Festival? Because that's quite a heavy topic. But, you know, you've been doing this long enough to know that sometimes it needs a light touch. So how do you go about building the show?
Well, I think you have to make it personal. You know what I mean? I think people will listen to a guy give some serious information if they like him first. So that's why, you know, I am a comedian and I really do put a lot of effort into making sure that even if you don't care about politics or even if you are conservative, you'll enjoy my comedy show. And if you enjoy my comedy show, you might like me enough to listen for 3 serious minutes in this hour where we really get into it. And, you know, because it really comes down to a very simple point. There's no fancy argument that I give in the show. There's no like courtroom drama, end of the, you know, closing arguments, beautiful speech, because refugee law doesn't require it. You know, often when you're watching the news and you see some conservative commenter give some sort of philosophical question of, can we really let everyone in? You know, any regular person would go, it's like a fair question. Can we let anyone in? But when you look at the reality of the situation, you go, it's more like, can we let anyone in? And when you start to look at it from that point of view, the solutions become a lot simpler.
So is comedy then a release valve for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately, it's also my main valve, having done it for 14 years now. So
you bring this. I mean, how does this show play in America then? Does it play differently here in the UK?
You know, it's interesting. I think it does play slightly differently because, of course, I'm talking about political considerations in America. But in this really weird way, Americans are more likely to care about the plight of the British, and the British are more likely to care about the plight of Americans because it's slightly removed. So in this weird way, you might get an even more positive response amongst British conservatives with my show, which I've gotten in several moments, than you would vice versa. And it seems to me because you can see that what I am arguing for and making you laugh with is a very hard thing to argue against. And especially when after the show, you don't have to argue against it. You tend to just have a fun time. Whereas in America, a conservative might see my show, enjoy the show, and then go, but technically I'm on the other side, so now I'm going to be bummed out.
And as we said right there at the top of the show, an Eastern European tour taking place just after the Fringe.
Yes, absolutely. And I think I like to bring this up, too, because I think a lot of times when you have someone on the left like me talking about, you know, things like the left, one of the fair criticisms is, why are you saying such things in, you know, Edinburgh or New York City or Los Angeles? These are all places that already agree with you. So what's the point? And I'm like, well, actually, this is just what I say everywhere. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say refugees deserve rights in New York City. Sure. I'm also going to say it in Belgrade, Serbia. You know what I mean? I'm also going to go to Viktor Orban's backyard in Budapest, and I'm going to say it there too, because refugees deserve rights everywhere. And I don't tailor my material for my audience.
You find it's universal then?
I think the thing that gets lost when we talk about countries is how much people have in common everywhere, right? When we discuss things like, oh my God, our governments are doing horrible things, that's 100% true. And the citizens of those governments deserve some blame for allowing that to happen. But what's also true is that many citizens everywhere, all over the world, do think it's wrong. They do think it's terrible, and they want it to stop. They just don't know how. And hopefully my show gives you the valve to be like, hey, that guy's funny. And if I give him $10 at the end of his show or $20 at the end of his show, he can do some really cool things as a result. And again, not me. I'm a dumb intern. I give the money to the people who can.
So it's there. We go. We listen. We support you. Then you go and you listen and you support the organization, who will then go and listen and support all the way up the chain until we find the refugee that says thank you.
And listen, boy, if they don't say thank you, we deport them right back. So that's great news. I'm kidding. But it's you know, it's fair that way.
That's fine. I've got the audio clip now for the promotion.
Good, good, good. Hey, people need to know, you know. it's funny. It's one of those things where it's like, often I'll get that question in the UK afterwards, where this lady came up to me after the show and she's like, well, I'm quite a progressive person, but I just don't feel like refugees are grateful enough. And I was like, oh boy, lady, I think you asked the wrong person that question. And it's, I don't know what to tell you. If I came on a boat and just met a bunch of people angry to have me there, I wouldn't be super grateful.
But in terms of promotion, let's get the show's details in once more. Where can I see Table for One at the Fringe?
Of course, you can see Table for One every single day from August 2nd to the 27th at 4:15 at Cabaret Voltaire. The show will be over by 5:15, which gives you plenty of time to eat food.
And it's also free Fringe, so there will be a bucket on the door. But are you with the ticketing system at the Fringe office can reserve a space as well?
Yes. If you are like, I have to see this show and I want to donate, then you can donate by going directly to the Fringe website and reserving a ticket.
And we'll have a direct link into the box office at our website, so you don't need to go searching through their wonderfully efficient and easy-to-understand search system. Just go through our website, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. Sid, you'll be online as well, I assume?
Absolutely. And may I just give one last plug for the show? Because ultimately what this year's show is about is, I know I'm talking about heavy topics. I know that sometimes this can feel overwhelming. But basically, this is a story of how I got to help do all of these things by accident. And that's really the crux of the show, is I technically got into law school on accident, and then I technically graduated on accident. And so we get into that And it's a pretty crazy story that involves me briefly being homeless in New York City. So lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. And presumably you managed to make a profit from The Fringe by accident.
No, that's on purpose. Hey, listen, we can't even pretend for that one. Hey, that's based on awesome people coming to my show, taking a chance on it and liking it. Hopefully on purpose. Although, you know what? A lot of them come to the show on accident. I've noted last year I had someone go, in 2019, I stumbled into a show and thought it was excellent. And it was Sid Sings. And then in 2022, I also got very drunk, stumbled into a show and thought it was excellent. And it was the same guy. I was like, oh, thank you. Let's see Nish Kumar get that review. You can't because people know who he is. If you would like to follow me online, you can follow me at Looking for Sid on Instagram, and I believe that is all Sid Sing Comedy on YouTube.
Lovely. Sid, thanks very much for your time. Enjoy Edinburgh when you get back.
Thanks for having me.
Sid Sing there and his show Table for One plays the Laughing Horse Cabaret Voltaire 4:15 p.m. every day. Well, it is busy. Sometimes you can't even start an interview properly and just have to press record, as I did there with Sid. Sometimes I have to record this little wrapper really quickly so I can get into town to do more interviews, to see more shows, and to bring you all the fun of The Fringe. That's what I do. What you have to do is enjoy the audio. Simple as that. If you want to do more, like, love, share, subscribe, all the usual social media prompts and stuff fits in here. Enjoy yourself. I'll catch you tomorrow. See you in 24 hours. Except I won't see you because that's creepy. And it's a podcast, so you won't see me because it's audio. So none of that applies. Don't you just love the English language? You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence, produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.